Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Tom Riedel, with my co-host here, Lou Riedel. And before we get into tonight's show, I wanted to explain a little bit about our program and the sites where you can find us online. Tonight, we are going to be welcoming our guest writer, whose name is Sherry Gambino. She's written Twisted Tales of Terror, and you'll be hearing from her shortly. And while you're waiting for Sherry, and if you're in the Blog Talk Radio site, you go to the chat room and you'll find some links there which will put you to some of our sites. The Writer's Lounge blog is at tomriedel.com/blog, and also you'll be able to find Facebook there also for the Writer's Lounge. You can contact us at any time at twl11@yahoo.com. That's email twl11@yahoo.com, and send us an email anytime you'd like. We've had a lot of heavy response to our requests that have gone out for filling spots in the end of November into the new year, and that is filling up really fast. In fact, we are now up through, I believe, or into March. So right now, I think what we're going to do is we're going to cut off those email requests for being on the show, but you can always send us requests for future shows. And because of the demand, we are thinking about doing more shows than just every other week at the beginning of the new year. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be giving you more news on that. I'd like at this time to also welcome to the program. We do an advertisement for them, and I am a guest reviewer over at Webweavers, and they review books from authors, and they also do interviews. So if you get a chance, go to your favorite search engine and plug in Webweavers. That's Webweaver. And the two ladies that run that site would be Deb and CK, and they will be on the show on Halloween to promote their book, and we really can't wait for that. It's going to be an exciting show. So with that, pretty much, we go into our first segment, which is Writer's Topics, and I'd like to introduce my wife, Lou, and how are you doing tonight?
Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone.
And what have you got for us today in Writer's Topics?
A little something I picked up off the internet on writing groups. It's actually from writers.com groups. And I just want to mention a little bit about what they do. You know, writing can be such a lonely work, so they decided to host free writers groups for fiction and nonfiction writers. It's basically participation in the groups that helps build a community where writers can gather for inspiration and support and exchange critiques. You can also help keep in touch with fellow class members or just to chat with other writers. There are many, many writing communities on the web. These people might not be what you need, but, you know, feel free to go and browse and see what you can find. They're pretty much looking for anybody who enjoys writing, either fiction or nonfiction. People who like to meet and talk to other writers and receive feedback on their work and comment on the work of others in a supportive and friendly environment. Membership in these groups is free, so, you know, that's really wonderful. There's not much in life these days that is free. The activities that take place in these groups are places where writers and aspiring writers can gather for support and inspiration, discuss writing and writing-related topics, make new friends, keep in touch with former members, and provide comments and suggestions for each other's work. The kind of activities that don't take place in the groups, if you're selling something, they're not interested. If you want to educate people politically or rant, they do not have a forum for you.
Oh, darn.
These groups are for writers and are about writing. Spammers, flamers, and other disruptive elements will be removed from the group list.
Now, that can be a daunting task because I used to operate a site, and it was a political site, but as you can imagine, we had a lot of trolls coming in, and it's sometimes difficult to separate out the trolls from the people who are actually interested in your site. So that should be something interesting to look to when you're visiting these sites.
Well, that's important. And I know that, you know, the groups on Facebook, for instance, do have moderators or admins. I belong to a couple of groups, and they're very, very strict about that kind of thing, not allowing drama. People who cause drama will be warned, will be removed. People who post things that are not quite savory.
So is there always a moderator?
These groups don't really have moderators as such, but I guess, you know, there's an email where you can contact them and they'll go in and take a look. But they don't have full-time moderators or admins. They don't have teachers or, you know, anything like that.
I think the best thing would be if you were to have a site like that to have enough people in your admin or moderators that could be on pretty much 24/7. If, say, you had maybe 30 or 50 moderators, admins, you could pretty much divvy up the time and spend a lot of time in there making sure that those sites remain clear.
Well, you could try that, but yeah, I just don't think that many people have enough time to, you know, to spend online moderating those groups.
That's true. In today's world, that's absolutely true.
So unfortunately, you know, a lot of that is going to sneak in, but they do have emails where you can actually report that kind of thing. So I think the writers' groups are worth looking at. As I say, this was just one that I picked out, which is writers.com groups.
And where is that again?
Writers.com.
Oh, writers.com. So it doesn't belong to Facebook or Yahoo.
It's a web group. It's a web-based group.
Okay.
It's writers.com / writers on the net. And they just have a whole bunch of different writers' groups there. They even have groups for young adults. So if you have a child or know of somebody who is a young adult, who is a writer, I think it's worth having a look to see if there are any groups out there that appeal to the young writers where they can also do the same thing, go and share their work, read the work of others, give critique, get back feedback. It's a great place to meet and greet with other writers and kind of network with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of sites that are developing out there. What I've noticed and was actually talking to somebody the other day is a lot of these, an author that we were talking to that will be on the program next time would be Maggie Shane. And she indicated that most of that activity now that's out there, like for instance with your Yahoo email groups, have shifted and gone to Facebook. So mm-hmm. A lot of it's being generated through Facebook, which I think is a great way to promote any site that you have. That seems to be the niche now that everybody's falling into to do something like that. So
there are a ton of writers groups on Facebook. I belong to quite a number of them. You can just browse on Facebook and look up writers groups, and you'd be really surprised at how many are there. You know, are out there.
Yeah.
You can afford to be choosy about, you know, which groups you join.
And yes. And what would I like to talk about today? Well, I'd like to be talking about being an animal. And honey, I don't mean it in that way. I mean it in a way that we can be an animal in our writing. Be an animal. Be like the cat. Be like the cat as they are stalking their prey. If you notice, we have a couple of cats that do this regularly, but they sit there silently and they look and they listen and they smell. You could see the little nose twitching and the ears twitching and the eyes shifting. So that's what they're doing. They're not out there thinking about how much money they have in their bank account, which is what happens with a lot of us, including me. And one of the things that I'm interested in promoting here on these writers' topics is things that I fall into, things that I negatively fall into that I spend too much time thinking about. And those are everyday details of living your life, work, bank accounts, jobs, you name it, just goes on and on. As you're driving home from work, for example, are you paying attention to the car in front of you? A lot of people aren't. They're on their cell phones. Are you paying attention to the parks that are on the side of the road? Are you paying attention to the clouds in the sky? Are you paying attention to the surface of the pavement? Are you paying attention to the squeal of the tires in the car next to you as they pull up to a red light? These are things that I think that we as writers have to be more in tune to develop our craft. And if we're not, we're kind of eliminating some of our weapons or our tools in our arsenal to write. So those are some of the things that I like to try to keep focused on and keep my attention on. And once again, be a cat, be out there and stalk the city. Go around the city and see if you can pick up on new things that you haven't seen before. Watch a street sign. Look at the curbing. Look at the little man on the corner that's reading the newspaper and smoking a cigar. Those are the things that I'd like to see more of, and I would like to see my writing become richer because of those details. Any thoughts on that, Lou?
I agree. I had a couple of thoughts while you were talking. I think one is that being an animal, too, I think you means employing all of the senses and not just the ones that you would think of. I think we need to, as you say, be more aware. We need to employ more senses than we do. We need to be more observant. For instance, I've just for my own sake have been on the bus a couple of times and come up with some incredible ideas for stories just by watching people or having some arbitrary thought or something happens on the bus and I think, wow, there's an idea for a story.
Well, you just experienced one tonight. It wasn't so pleasant, but your sense of smell was working.
Yeah, I was waiting at the bus stop and all I could smell, it was really hot, it was really bright, and I could just smell the stink of diesel. And I got on the bus, and it either had very few or no shock absorbers whatsoever. And it was just it was a horrible ride home. But, you know, there you're kind of engaging all your senses, and it's kind of forced on you. You can't help it. But, you know, it does happen. But I think we need to open ourselves up a little bit more to what's around us. And I know most of the writers that I know are very, very observant people, and they do like to people watch, which is what I like to do as well.
Right, and rather than getting on a bus and taking a ride home in your story, if you incorporate the senses also, it makes your story come alive on the page. And last time around, I talked about how it was difficult for me to separate myself from the story and to read separate from myself as somebody else is reading my story. And that's one of the things I think that helps you as a writer appreciate your own work better if you can include a lot of those adjectives that spice up our writing from day to day living. And like I said, you experienced one today, and that was a pretty interesting time, and it can be a very interesting time if you take the time to go into your city and around your neighborhood and pay attention to what's around you, and I hope that you will do that. Well, we get into our next chapter, and we're still waiting for Sherry Gambino, and actually she's on the line now. I believe that's her on the line. And The book, Twisted Tales of Terror, a 12-story collection, was written by Sherry Gambino, who describes herself as a part-time horror writer when she isn't busy working as a full-time sales manager. And she has written several short stories to her credit, and she has just released Lilith's Revenge and Stories of Femme Fatale, available through Panic Press, and Rhymes of the Dead, Demented, and Vile through Amazon Kindle. The book that we're focused on today here at the Writer's Lounge is Twisted Tales of Terror. It's a 34,000-word compilation that will more than whet your appetite for the upcoming Halloween season, and we're all looking forward to that. When you open up the pages, you'll be met with zombies, killer comets, a rogue vampire hunter, a demented child-hungry clown, hungry space parasites, a female spider, and an ass-kicking nun. I've written a few reviews, I've written a full review of the book over at tomriddell.com/blog if you want to go over and take a look. The links to the blog and to Sherry Gambino's site can also be found in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, which you'll find on the Writer's Lounge page on the Blog Talk Radio site. Right now, we're going to turn it over to Lou, and I'm going to get a drink here as my throat feels like it's drying up a little bit. And she will read an excerpt from one of the stories in Twisted Tales of Terror called Relic the Clown. Then we'll be back to meet Sherry Gambino.
Relic was tired of being Satan's entertainment clown. Lately, all he wanted Relic to do was bite the heads off humans who had been condemned to hell. This job was getting to be boring for him. He decided to take a night off and have some fun. It had been centuries since he'd been to the world above, and he needed to blow off some steam. He wanted to look his best tonight. This was a special occasion, so he put on his best outfit. Red and orange striped overalls that barely covered his large, round body. He laughed. Eating all those human heads had put more weight on him than he'd thought. Next, he prepared his best pair of red shoes, size 22, and shined them up nice. Now for the last touches to his white round face. Then he picked the boogers out of his round bulbous nose and shined it up. Lastly, he picked out his large red afro. He whistled a little tune and exclaimed, "Damn, you look good tonight. You're still a handsome devil." Relic was ready to go. He walked through hell until he reached the gate. Satan's guards were immediately on him, but he kicked the demons with his oversized shoes. He hit some so hard that he knocked off their heads. He laughed hard as he waddled past the gate and thought this was much more fun than biting them off. Finally, he could see the entrance to the world above, smiling as his left foot entered first. He stood in the middle of New York City. This was one of the most frequently used doors between the worlds. Several entrances had been made between the human world and hell, but you were supposed to be granted a pass from Satan himself. Relic figured he would just put in some overtime sucking up to Big Red when he got back, and was sure he would have a great story to tell upon his return. The world appeared much different than he remembered. Lights were everywhere. Cars packed the roads. This place was so bright and full of life. People walked around everywhere. His eyes grew big with delight at seeing all of the fresh meat. His favorite was tender little children. Thoughts of eating a juicy child again made him salivate. He started thinking, where could I find me some plump little kids to eat tonight? In hell, children are considered a rare delicacy. All he saw were the older humans. They tasted okay, but their meat always seemed a bit stringy. Where would children be at night? The idea came to him. Pizza. Kids loved it. Now came the task of finding a pizza place. Continuing to waddle down the street, he looked like a perfect clown painted up, though his was a natural appearance. He kept his lips sealed together with a smile on his face. People stopped and laughed at him, commenting on how neat and real he looked. A group of teenagers kept following him, so he turned around, bowed in front of them, and smiled big. They screamed and ran away once they saw his teeth. Filed down to points, they were long and sharp, just right for tearing away meat.
Oh, boy, that sounded good. Thank you, Lou. Now I'd like to introduce someone who has managed to grow an extremely captive audience on Facebook, including myself. Sherry Gambino has delighted and amused many with her quirky, fun, and highly entertaining sense of humor, and now we'll hear directly from her as she settles in here at the Writer's Lounge to tell us what it's like to be a writer. Lou and I would like to welcome you to the show. Hello there, Sherry. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad I've been such entertainment for everyone.
Well,
I
you have. You have, and I wanted to kind of introduce you as an ass-kicking nun, but I didn't think that would be proper.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I'm going to be for Halloween, so there might be pictures to follow up.
Oh, that's going to be cool. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm
okay,
glad that I entertain.
You do, very much so. And, Sherry, I want to mention here, we've had some glitches on the show. If you go off air or you seem to not hear us anymore, do not hang up because it sort of regenerates itself. This has happened in the past, and so far I'm hearing you fine. I hope you're hearing us fine.
I'm hearing you just great.
Great.
Hey, Sherry, how are you doing?
Wonderful. I'm so glad to get to hear your voices.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
You had asked me, I guess, what it's like to be a writer.
I was going to ask you how long have you been a writer and who inspires you?
Well, I've been writing for probably about 3 years. I started writing because I have a lot of energy and I need to channel it out some way. And so I just started putting my thoughts on paper. And that's kind of how I started writing. And just from some of the forums that I was on, I saw that some of them were calling for anthologies that were coming up and people that wanted to submit. So I just started writing ideas that I had and coming up with stories and submitting. It's kind of how it happened. And, you know, it just kind of happened as a hobby, per se. And what inspires me is just, when I start something, I like to be the best at what I do. So I guess I'm kind of a person that, has myself inspires myself, in other words. But
very
I
good.
Do have one person that I would like to thank that has really helped me along with my writing career, and that's Stephen North. He has helped me immensely become a better writer, I think, as the years have went by.
Get any tidbits from him that you'd like to share and how to become a better writer?
It's mainly, you know, he's always told me that I need to show, more than just tell. I need to kind of become that character and put myself in that character's shoes to be able to tell a good story. And I think that's really helped me the best. I mean, when she was reading that about Relic, I was giggling. I was trying not to laugh because I had so much fun with it because I tried to become Relic. And if I was a sick, demented clown, what would I do and what would I say?
I had a laugh at the part where he was picking his boogers out of his bulbous nose and shining it. And I kept thinking, and it made me laugh, too, because I was wondering, was he shining the bulbous nose or was he shining the booger that came out of his nose?
Well, he was picking them out, and, you know, they could be used as a lubricant to shine things.
There you go. I also enjoyed it. I also had a good time with that story, and it was my favorite. Tell us about Twisted Tales of Terror. How long did you hold on to those 12 stories before publishing them?
For about a year. Some of them I had written for anthologies, and some of them were anthologies that were supposed to come through and didn't, and I just kind of held on to them, and I just kept writing and writing, just coming up with these different ideas. And then I had all these stories, and I thought, what am I going to do with them? So I put them together and came up with Twisted Tales of Terror. And it was kind of a little different because I had written another anthology book before that that's a little different, the Lilith's Revenge. But I really didn't hold on to them that long. I just thought, hey, I'll put them out there and see if people like them.
That's great. I love your stories. I think you're such an unusual person. Yeah, I love your Facebook posts. They're always so entertaining. wanted to ask you, Halloween is a little more than a month away. What scares you the most in this life?
Clowns. Clowns and balloons.
Clowns and balloons.
I know it's funny. Yes, I can't stand balloons or clowns or spiders.
Okay, now I got to ask you, Sherry, what is it about clowns that you're afraid of? And this has come up recently in the past, and I'm fascinated with the idea of people being afraid of clowns. In fact, I think it has its own phobia description, if I'm correct. And I'm just wondering, where does that come from? Is there something in your past that caused that, or what is that?
Yes. I had a clown at a birthday party, and I did not like clowns. And he, you know, all my little friends were there, and we were having my birthday party, and he was making balloons, you know, balloon animals. And he was making one for me, and just hearing them go, like they do when they make them into little shapes. And it popped, and it scared me. And the clown was just laughing, you know, laughing at me. And I don't know, he looked scary. And then my mom kept, like, thinking that I liked clown, and she kept buying me all this clown stuff. She had this big, huge picture that she put over my bed of a big clown laughing, and I hated that thing, and I had nightmares about it.
And I'm sure you probably also read Stephen King's novel regarding clowns, too.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, he's
that
very frightening.
Scared me. That really scared me.
Yes. I don't know what it is about clowns. I do not like them. And I think that's what got me to writing Relic. I started thinking, what scares me? Well, clowns. They seem to scare a lot of people because you really don't know who that is under all that makeup.
Exactly. In my review of the Twisted Tales of Terror, I mentioned that I was disappointed that we didn't learn more about the characters, and you just alluded to that when you mentioned having another person help you with character development. Any plans to develop these characters further and possibly turning one of these short stories into a novel?
Yes, there is. I just completed a novella called Relic, and it goes a little bit more into Relic, and it's called Relic. It kind of goes a little bit more into who is Relic. Because
I was
so
so hoping you were going to do that. I'm so glad you said that.
I did. I wrote a novella because I didn't know, like, what people would think of it and if people would want to read things about a killer clown. But it kind of goes a little bit more into who Relic is, and he's a lot more than just a demented clown. There was a reason why he went to hell, and in this book you find out. And I plan to kind of elaborate probably a little bit more with him and some other books that I'm thinking of. But, yes, I will be – Relic should be coming out soon. It's at my editor's. And then I was looking at some of the other characters that I have as well. You know, I loved Sasha, and I thought about doing something with her with a zombie novel, but there will be other things coming out with some of these characters that I've developed in my mind.
Wonderful. I am looking forward to reading more about Relic.
Yes.
I think it's going to be great.
Yes, it's a pretty demented book. So, hopefully it won't offend too many people.
I happen to like Demented, so I'll be one of the first in line there downloading it or whatever.
We're all demented. Anybody that's on your Facebook site, Sherry, has to be a little demented. So, and I think that's the only way to be when you're a writer. And, you know, you've got to have a little fun in your life and enjoy the spooky and the horror part of it, too.
I do. I really do.
I totally agree. Sherry, you know, during the writing process, we create characters for our stories. Do you have more of a tendency to control your characters' lives, or do you find that during the writing process they kind of start to control you more?
No, I think I control them more than anything. I don't let them really – they haven't controlled me so far, not that I know of.
Well, that's
probably
a good thing with characters like Reddit, right?
Because all of mine are really terrible, and they're all, you know, serial killers, and I hope that they don't. Not that I know of, unless I've developed another personality. But I tend to do most of the controlling over them. Through the day I might get an idea about this character, and I'll write something down so that I can remember it. So that's kind of how I do that.
Now, one of my favorite stories besides Relic was Extinction. What's your thoughts on the future of mankind in regards to that story?
Well, it's been proven that the dinosaurs went extinct because, I mean, they finally have announced that it was a meteor that hit the Earth because of the iridium levels that they took from the Earth soil. And I guess they just announced it like a year ago that's the final, they think, conclusion of what happened to them. I think that getting the Earth being plummeted by a meteor or comet could happen. They're actually floating all around us in space, and, you know, you just never can tell what might happen as years go on. If one came our way and it was a large meteor or comet, there's really not much that we could do, except that hope it doesn't come our way. I also think that with all the new viruses that are developing around the world and becoming more drug resistant, that possibly, a virus could do us in. I mean, you see all these terrible viruses that are out there, and there's no cure. And you just kind of wonder, what if something like that happened? I mean,
actually, there's a movie, I believe, in the works, or it's out now, that I think that Lou wanted to see.
I think it's called Pandemic.
Yeah.
That's a distinct possibility. I mean, we had the bird flu, not that huge scare, just a couple of years ago. And I'm like you, I believe that something like that can happen. And unfortunately, it has been proven that so many of these viruses mutate so quickly that even if you found a vaccine or, some kind of treatment for it, it changes so rapidly that, science just won't be able to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, it is. And I think that either one of those, things could happen. And that's what I was thinking when I was thinking of Extinction, basically that's what happens. And some people are underground in the New York cavern, and when they come out, they find out that a meteor has hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes on to kind of tell a little bit about what they do, and then, there's always something, normally big at the end of my story. They normally don't end very well for people. So,
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
No, to carry on.
No, I said, go ahead. I'm done. I will talk your ear off. So just tell me, okay, Sherry, come on.
On Facebook, you write quite a lot about your dogs. Can you tell us a little more about them?
Yes, they're my babies. They're very good. I believe in pound puppies. I've got three wonderful dogs, Blast, Bear, and Shadow. And they're all very high energy, and I am their mommy, and we just do lots of stuff together.
You're going to have to listen to our next show coming up on October 3rd. We pre-recorded it last week, but we'll be talking to Maggie Shane, who is a New York Times best-selling author, and she speaks a lot of her dogs at her home, and she absolutely loves them. So I think you and her would have a lot in common there.
Yes, when you don't have kids and you have dogs, they kind of take the place of children.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike and I, we tend to do a lot of spoiling, They get a lot of ball time, lots of toys, and lots of love.
That's me and my cats. It's the same thing. They're my babies, too.
Yes, they are my babies, and I'll have to say that we got a cattle dog probably about a year ago, and oh my goodness, I don't know what I was thinking. He doesn't care. I was sick over the weekend, and he does not care if you're sick. He wants to play ball. He has to play ball at least twice a day. Aww. Or he's not happy. I'm out there sick in my pajamas throwing a ball for this dog. So he can get his exercise. If not, then he'll like bounce off the walls. But yeah, my dogs are really great. They really
very
are.
Great.
And I encourage people, if they want a dog or cat, to go to the shelter and adopt one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we've done as well. You know, we've gone to the no-kill shelters, and that's where we get our animals from.
Yeah, that's where we've gotten all of our animals from, and it really does help because, you know, a lot of them don't get homes and they get euthanized, and hopefully there's something that, you know, Kansas City can change about that, where we will have more no-kill shelters.
Yeah,
right now we do have several of them that do have to euthanize, and I'm hoping that over time that will change.
Yeah.
Very good. In regards to your dogs, about being a writer, where do you find your ideas, and when and where is the best place to write, especially when you have a house full of pets?
Gosh. Yeah, it's hard. I have an office in the back room, and I do try to concentrate as much as I can writing. I have a laptop, too, but I tend to write more in my office, probably more than anything. And I just try to give them something to keep them entertained, or Mike entertains them. And sometimes they'll sit on the couch and sit there and stare at me, and they'll whine and look at me. And I'm just like, not right now. Mommy's writing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reach down, when you reach down into that place where the stories come from, where do you go to find those stories?
Wow. I have a really creative mind, I would say, and I just kind of go into my mind and just create them. I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, I don't know, they just come to me. I sit and I think about what I like, what scares me, and then I think of a character, and then I think, well, what's this character look like? What's this character all about? You know, what's this character going to do? And I just kind of go from there, and then I develop a story around it just in my mind.
Yes.
A lot goes on up there.
Yeah. Sherry,
you never stop thinking.
You never can. You got to keep that old imagination running. We've got a caller on the line here from area code 732. Would you be willing to take a call?
That's fine.
Okay, let's bring that caller on the line right now. Hello, caller. You're on the Writer's Lounge with Tom and Lou and Sherry Gambino.
Hi, it's Robin, Zombie Diva. Hey, Sherry, how you doing?
Hi, Zombie Diva. Great.
I told
awesome.
You I would call.
Yes, you did. We're just talking about how my mind works. I said there's
God.
A lot going on up there.
Go ahead and ask any question. I know you've got some questions for Sherry, so go ahead and ask her something that you've always wanted to ask Sherry.
Well, there's this running joke that I have, and Sherry knows this because I've mentioned this to her before, but I swear we share the same brain because we're both crazy, whacked out kind of people in the way that we think, the way that we process. I'm a writer also, so, you know, we kind of vibe on the same levels with a couple of things. And, you know, I enjoy her writing so much because she has a way of making you, when you read whatever the story is about, whatever the subject matter is about, she just has this way that makes you kind of connect with the characters and with the story. And it's just, she's so talented, and I've been following her for a good long while now, and I just wanted to call in. I just wanted to tell her that I look forward to her next work and
Relic the Clown, by the way.
Encouragement.
Relic the Clown. Relic the Clown. Put in kudos for Relic the Clown, because we're all waiting to hear
Relic. Definitely.
and is this, now, your name is Robin, correct?
Yes, Robin. Robin Eduardo.
Before we let you go, have you written any books?
I'm currently in the middle of writing a zombie novel. I shouldn't say in the middle. I've been writing it for about 4 years now. It's entitled No Redemption for the Dead. And I know everybody's been bugging me, when are you going to finish it? When are you going to finish it? When are you going to finish it? And I really couldn't tell you. It is under contract with Dave Arana Enterprises, and it's in revisions with my editors, and I hope it comes out pretty soon. But I'll tell you, I wish I could be as prolific a writer as Sherry, because she just seems to be able to crank these stories out, and there's really, the quality is not, you know, missing. And that's the thing, you know, that really impresses me, because usually, as far as my experience has been, people who tend to just crank stories out in that way, there's always something a little bit lacking. It feels rushed. But she really, really, she knows how to go into details and
sure
really,
does.
Yeah. She just, like I said, she makes you connect with the story, and it's very cinematic as you read it, like a little movie playing in your mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, that's a talent, and you know, I give her a lot of kudos, and I don't want to hog the show.
Keep on, Robin. Keep on.
To your greatness. Bow.
We're gonna let you go, Robin, but we'd like you to give us an email at twl@yahoo.com.
TWL11@yahoo.com. Sure.
All right. And keep us on Facebook, too. And if you're on the Blog Talk Radio site, go ahead and click on our Facebook page, and we'd love for you to like us there.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Robin, we'll let you go. Sherry, you want to say goodbye to Robin?
Okay. Bye, Robin. Thank you. You're wonderful.
Oh, I love you so much, girl.
I do, too.
Have fun.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, that was fun.
Yeah, she is. I've read the first 5 chapters of her No Redemption from the Dead, and it's going to be awesome. I can tell you that right now. The woman can write good. So it's going to be a very, very impressive zombie book.
Very good. I know you love zombies.
Yes. Well, she's Zombie Diva. So, of course, I've got to be friends with the great Zombie Diva.
There you go. Hey, and kind of piggybacking onto that, you seem to have a fascination with nuns, and it comes through in your story, Leather Nun. Is there a deeper meaning for your interest in them? Do you see them as a symbol, a solitary savior for mankind, maybe?
I don't know what it is. Only thing I can think of is we used to live by a convent, kind of close to a convent when I was younger, and I used to see them all the time, and I always thought they looked like angels. When they would walk around, and I just thought that they were really just beautiful. And I don't know, there's just something about nuns that I really like. I think that they show purity and strength, because it's very hard to become a nun. And it's hard to see a nun, and I mean, to take an oath and everything they do. And I just think that they are very powerful. And when I wrote Leather Nun, I really held back. I am going to be writing a nun novel. And I'm probably not going to hold back like I did for that story. I want my nun to be a really, can I say badass? Well, I guess I did.
Oh, absolutely.
A badass. I want her to be a badass nun and to really go in and kick some butt. And I'm going to be another one of my future projects. So I really don't know what
wonderful.
It is. They just fascinate me, and it's just, I think they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen your picture that you post on Facebook.
That's me. I know.
In fact, she has a profile picture up now of her as a nun. So.
I think they're absolutely wonderful.
I was so bored, and I did it. And I ran and showed Mike, and he was like, "Oh dear God, Sherry."
I think they're absolutely wonderful. And you're talking about Facebook, you know, social media is such a huge part of people's lives. And how has it affected you as a person and as a writer?
I love meeting people online and talking to people that have common interests. And that's the way that I have met a lot of the authors that I like, is through Facebook, is through, you know, different websites. I think that websites like Facebook and other ones can be really good to make friends and advertise your book. It's just, you know, don't, like, beat it into them every day. I'm an author, and I'll, you know, you'll see me, I'll put something up about a book, but then I mix it up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use it as my own personal sales tool. I think social media is great, and I think it's just going to grow, and I think it's great that when you come home, you don't feel like doing anything, and you can get on the computer and talk to people and have fun, and you can do it in your pajamas.
I mean, that's so
that's
true.
That's the best part of it.
And it's so much fun because, I mean,
or you can do it naked.
Yeah.
You can do it naked and nobody would even know.
I think we've all sat at the computer naked, but we just don't admit it.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show. We've all done that.
You know, and I think it's wonderful because...
Maybe we ought to have a website or webcast called nakedwriters.com.
There you go. We can
try
that.
Are you kidding me? That is so funny.
Okay. But it's so true because we put ourselves and our lives out there on Facebook. And as you say, it's not only about the writing. I think it's as important for your readership to get to know you as the person and not only as the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
why, you know, social networking like Facebook and Twitter just comes in so handy because you can really put yourself out there and you want people to fall in love with not only your books and your characters, but with you as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And normally what you see on that wall is me. I mean, I'm kind of a wacky kind of person, so it kind of shows through on Facebook, and people that know me in real life that interact with me every day go, yeah, that's Sherry.
Besides,
doing her weird thing.
Sherry, besides writing, what do you like to do for fun?
I read a lot. I read a lot. I play with the dogs. I like to swim. I like to think of new ways to irritate or terrorize Mike.
Also known as you're a photographer, too. Is that correct? You like photography, too. Is that correct?
Yes. I like to take pictures. I have a lot of different things that I like to do. I don't sit and watch a ton of TV. I just kind of mix it up a little.
Yeah, and I just thought of another question here that kind of popped in my head. Your mom has friended me on Facebook, and your mom has a history of writing too, I believe, a little that I've read about her. Did you pick up any of her experiences, and how has she been with giving you advice?
My mom's a English professor, and let's just say as far as grammar, I do not inherit any of her traits.
Okay.
I have an editor edit everything for me. I think she always was always wanting me to be creative and always kind of pushed me to express myself, so she probably helped with some of the creativity part. My mom is very dramatic and creative, and maybe some of that rubbed off on me. And she does do some writing. I've encouraged her to actually submit some of her stories or something, or, you know, do something with me. But, of course, since she's a teacher, she is pretty much busy most of the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of work to do when you're a teacher. So tell us, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us and our listeners, and where can our listeners reach you and your books?
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last part.
Okay. I'll just repeat the whole thing. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us and our listeners, and where can our listeners reach you and your books?
Okay. If they, you know, ever have any questions, you can always email me at Sherry, Sherry, .Gambino, G-A-M-B-I-N-O, at yahoo.com. And I'm on Facebook. Friend me on Facebook. As long as you're not a weirdo and tell me your body part, we should be fine.
Okay.
And
yes, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
As long as people don't show me, you know, I don't want to see naked pictures of yourself. But if you have questions to ask me or anything like that, that would be great. And I am working. I am very excited. Stephen North and I are working on an upcoming novel that's about zombies and vampires. And we're probably about halfway done with it. So I'm pretty excited about that as well. So I have a book I'm co-writing with somebody coming out soon. And then also Relic should be out probably within the next month.
And I am so looking forward to that. And Sherry, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today. And it's so great to actually put a voice with the face that we see, the ass-kicking nun, on your Facebook page. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope that you'll come back on our show after. I'd like to open up an invitation to you at some point in 2012 to come back on our show after you've written Relic the Clown. Would you be able to do that?
I would love to.
Okay.
I would love to. And I thank you so much, Tom and Lou, for inviting me to your show.
It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
We'll let you go, and we'll be constantly checking you out on Facebook there, Sherry. So you have a wonderful evening, and good for you for doing what you're doing. Keep it up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. What an interesting author. And we were talking about, and she was talking about in the beginning about developing characters, and I think it kind of comes right into what we were talking about earlier, Lou, about, you know, enriching your characters, bringing life into them. And I certainly felt that happening when I was reading Sherry's book, Twisted Tales of Terror, through the 12 stories. I was like pulled in, and it was a kind of a book that had a lot of hunger throughout. There was hunger, obviously, with Relic the Clown, and there was hunger of wanting the earth to be better than it is and humankind to be better than it is. And so I think that was a theme that we really didn't touch on when we talked to Sherry, but you could get the sense of where she was as a writer and where she is actually as a person when you read that book, because it kind of touched all bases.
Yeah, and you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I think it's so important with your characters that you don't leave your readership feeling ambivalent about your characters, that you create a character that they're either going to fall in love with or absolutely hate because they're so despicable. But it's to engender an emotion when they're reading about certainly your main protagonist or antagonist. You know, you don't want to leave your readership feeling ambivalent about your character. You want to engender that kind of deep emotion in them, and that'll draw them into the story.
That's certainly the truth. And there's a lot of books and a lot of good authors out there writing books on how to help to develop your writing skills. And one that I have in front of me right here is Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. That's just one book that you can go to find help with your writing. And the first part of the program during Writer's Topics, that's where I took my Be an Animal from. It's from their pages, from her pages, and I would encourage anybody to go out there to their local bookstore and find some of those books to help them with their writers, with their writing. Well, we've got just a few more minutes left of the program, and next time around, we'd like to set you up for an author that has made it to the New York Times best-selling list during her career, and her career spans about 18 years. Her name is Maggie Shane. She does write, going back to Sherry, she writes vampire novels, and she's concluding a vampire series in her next book that's coming out, or actually is out now. I believe it came out on, maybe it is. September 20th was the release date, but I think it's actually come out sooner from her Facebook page. So on October 3rd at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here in the Midwest, you can tune in at 7 to listen to Maggie Shane. And it was an amazing interview. Actually, had to pre-record it, and she was amazing. And we hope that you will tune in for that. Any parting words, Lou?
No, I just think again to remind folks who are interested in joining writing groups to have a look on the web and on places like Facebook. If you really want to mingle with other writers and get some kind of feedback, there are some amazing groups out there. There are even some groups that will give you, what is the word I'm looking for? They'll give you some kind of a little challenge to do, a writing challenge. You know, write 500 words on this subject, and then you can go in and read other people's work and comment on it and put yours in there for some feedback. I think that's the kind of thing that we're all looking for. You know, it's good to have somebody else reading your work besides yourself.
Very good. And Lou, we'll be back next time. And until then, good reading and good writing.
Good night.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. One beautiful morn, he said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind, and it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in.